Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever time of the day you're listening to this podcast. I've slacked a couple weeks now in the cold opening, so I mean, they're kind of fun to do, but like, I kind of ran home tonight and sat down and sent you guys invites and said, let's record, so I didn't have time to think of any kind of fancy cold opening, but I will say I did just come from a dinner party for my sister-in-law, who 1 year survivor of cancer, so I guess that's a good enough cold opening there, so congratulations to her, she's doing well, And nasty disease that at this point in our lives, you know, we're all in our, well, me and Longer in our 40s, Matt, you're almost there. I mean, it's just one of those things that almost everyone's been touched by it in some way by now. And unfortunate and sometimes there's fortune behind it when people are able to survive and thrive from it. So it was a good cause. It was fun. We surprised her. She didn't see it coming and she was genuinely surprised. So I'm glad for that. And so it was a good time. Got to catch up with an old friend and hang out. I've been talking a lot. So now I'm coming home and I'm talking some more. So my voice is a little bit just shot. It's real hot still, obviously, in Texas. And that African dust, man, has been like, if y'all notice, like the air's real heavy outside. And I guess from what I was reading, we're still getting a lot of that African dust here in Texas. And it fucks with your throat, man. It's like,
Well, it's keeping the hurricanes away.
That is true, man.
I
will take some dust and heat over hurricanes any day. But yes, this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long.
And it is my birthday week in the movie. My birthday is on Monday, the day that this episode comes out. I guess, you know, I'm not a fan of celebrating getting older at this point in my life, but what do you do, right? The train keeps on rolling. There's not much you can do about it. You kind of have to accept your fate and add an extra number to that yearly count upward, downward. I don't know which way you count once you get to a certain point in life, right? So
we're all moving towards that expiration date.
That's right. So it should be a fun episode. I picked a movie that I really like quite a bit, and I'm glad you guys watched it, and I'm looking forward to hearing y'all's opinions on it, because I think this movie kicks a lot of fucking ass, and it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about here in just a few minutes, but how are you fellas doing? Doing good this week?
Tired.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
This morning I woke up feeling extra motivated. I woke up at 5 a.m., and did water changes for both my fish tanks, about 50 gallons worth of water changes. Wow. And then after that, I decided to mow the lawn.
Before you went to work?
I decided to mow the lawn, but it was just, no, well, don't give me too much credit, because I only did my part of the lawn. It's just a backyard. And I only did the tall grass. And there's not very much tall grass. So it took me only 10 minutes. So a lot of dead lawn. But I only did the tall grass. And then after that, I had to take my roommate to the mechanics because his car battery won't start up. And then I went to work and was finished by 3:30, 4.
Damn. Yeah, so I'm lucky if I had been a long day. Time to get dressed and pop my contacts in, let alone change a fish tank and mow yard. Way to go, Long.
Yeah, I know. Usually I wake up an hour before I have to go to work, but today I was motivated for some reason,
I've tired is an understatement the way this week's been. We're just shorthanded at work, and they're doing some kind of resets and stuff, so we're having to work around these machinery, and things are in the back, and it's just like, I was trying not to check out.
People are quitting, or?
They've had people quit, or they just can't find people that want to work. And we're shorthanded. We've had a few people out with COVID and people on vacations or whatever.
Well, you're only offering part-time all the time. Of course, they're not going to work there.
I don't disagree with you. And not only that, they still pay less than most of the other companies pay. So, yeah.
But HEB is the king.
It's been a challenge. And we have next week, we have inventory, and But I just have to survive next week, then I'm on vacation the week after that. So it'll be good. I was supposed to be off next week for my birthday, but no, I'm working because of inventory. So it is what it is. So
yeah,
no rest for the wicked. But it's okay. And Matt, you don't have any reason to be tired. You've been on vacation, so you should be well rested.
Yeah, man. No, I'm tanned and well rested and had help watching the kids.
You're half Mexican, man. You were born with a tan,
man. It's true. This is true, man. I didn't even use any sunscreen the whole time. I didn't even get burnt.
Well, I guess that's good.
Genetics. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Looks like y'all had a good time. That's cool. So, but let's get this show rolling, man. It's gonna be a fun show, I think. I'm gonna give you guys an opportunity later on to kind of roast me, if you would, a little bit. I'll have some fun for my birthday, and curious to see what you guys come up with. But before we do that, let's get into download this where we tell people what we watched, streamed, played this week, and checked out. And I guess I'll go first. I really didn't watch much this week. A couple more episodes of Neon Genesis Evangelion. I've got about 5 left to go, I think, in the series. So almost there. It's really picking up there towards the end. I'm actually really kind of enjoy it, man. It's pretty good. I hope from all the things I've read, I've heard the movies pay off well, so that it all ends well once you get all the story complete. So it feels like it's headed in the right direction. It's a cool story. I feel like that's all I really watched this week. I feel like I rewatched the Batman for like the 6th time. So I did kind of watch that because my AC was not acting right Tuesday night. I texted you guys about that. So I ended up spending the night at my mom's house Tuesday till the guy came and fixed it Wednesday. And I put in my Vudu account at my mom's, and I watched the Batman at her house Tuesday night. So, you know, so I did watch that. But that's about it this week. Just didn't have much time with AC going out. Wasn't home a lot. But I plan on this week. I'm definitely going to tackle Prey. I want to see the new Predator movie. And I'll probably watch get into the Sandman on Netflix.
A lot of good stuff about that.
I want to watch that, and I want to get into the Sandman on Netflix. I've heard good things about that too. So I'm going to try to start watching that stuff this week. So what did you guys check out this week?
Nothing. Although, I guess Doctor Strange is already out on there.
And Lightyear.
Yeah.
And Lightyear.
I did rewatch Doctor Strange.
I'm probably gonna check it out. I like a good sci-fi. Did you?
Yeah, I did rewatch Doctor Strange last week. I forgot about that. And it's okay. Yeah. You know, it holds up all right.
Oh, I thought that Prey was also going to be on Disney Plus, but I guess not.
Oh, well. Hulu. Is that Hulu?
Apparently it's on Disney.
I will never... Yeah, I will never subscribe to Hulu.
Yeah.
I use my sister's subscription.
Well, I just get it as part of my Disney Plus.
Like, oh, I'm paying for non-commercial, and I guess what? I still get commercials. Fuck that.
But they don't do like movies, they only do commercials at the beginning. I just do it as part of my Disney Plus bundle. Like Disney Plus is $8.99. I pay $4 more and I get Hulu also. So that's, you know.
It's not bad.
Do a free trial just to watch Brick.
Yeah. That's it for you, Long?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. No, you know, I've been trying to figure out what to pick for my birthday movie, because I feel like once Mark's comes up, I have to kind of figure out what I'm gonna do. So I've been watching a few things. I watched Bullet twice, and it was hard for me to kind of grasp the twists and turns of the movie. It's definitely not as much of a car chase movie. It's more of a cop, almost like a documentary style type of movie. Really cool, you know, well shot, I feel like. That was probably McQueen's, you know, top 10 movies. Probably if you had to make a top 10 list of McQueen films, they'd probably be there. Up there with Le Mans and Magnificent Seven. Those are different movies than this one, but, you know, he's a really cool actor, kind of like a Bogart, you know. He's a presence on film. And it was cool to watch a McQueen film this past week. Still a great car chase scene. It's like 10 minutes long, but it moves really well. And then I watched Demolition Man.
Oh, I just bet you'd love hearing how those cars crunch against the San Francisco Hill, huh?
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. I'm just like, man, the suspension, man. You're just killing the suspension. But it's, you know, hearing the now, I know McQueen, he drove the, you know, that 68 Mustang, like, most of the time. But you can hear him double clutching those gears. And, if it's him, you know, I know, you know, McQueen, you know, at that point had already done Le Mans. And because of the vehicles he drove, there's no clutch synchronization. So he would have had to double clutch whenever he's shifting those vehicles. So it was cool to hear that, you know, going on, whenever the Mustang's revving, and then the guy driving the Challenger, he's doing what they call granny shifting, which is what a normal person does. You just put the clutch down, you move the gear, you take your foot off the clutch, and you go. You don't have to double clutch because there's at that point, if you're doing that, it's supposed to have some kind of clutch synchronization within the vehicle. But both of these vehicles, you should double clutch if you're in a 70s vehicle. But that's shop talk. It was cool to hear that. You hear it, you know, because there's no CGI. There's no of this new age special effects. So that's the special effect. And it's cool, you know, to go back and see how it was done, you know, before, you know, some of these other movies. Definitely a cool flick. It's like on sale for $5 on Amazon Prime. So I bought it. It's like $5. Yeah, man. You know, not a bad investment, you know? Demolition Man, that's always fun to watch. And then I did watch Lightyear, but it was on and off. I kept having to run after the kids. It was okay. Some of the jokes, not as funny. Like, there's a robot, and he keeps repeating himself, and he messes up, and he has to go back and, you know, re-relay his information, and it's like I don't know. It's like they tried too hard on some parts of the film. But it was okay. You know, it wasn't bad. It was just okay. And then I watched like 4 Bond films. I watched World Is Not Enough. I watched No Time to Die. I watched Thunderball again, which I watched it last week. I watched it again.
Why do you like that movie so much?
I love Thunderball, man. It's well, you know, they hold the world ransom for $100 million. You know, you've got a lot of the Austin Powers stuff in there. And it's a complicated storyline. Yeah, man. It's it's basically From Russia with Love.
But then you watch like the two worst
Thunderball
films. That's just like some bad Bond films.
They what, Matt, Mark?
Yeah, he said, I just like two Bond films. Films. Yeah, the one that made the most,
probably the two worst Bronson films.
Oh, yeah. Well, World Is Not Enough isn't a good Bond film. Thunderball is a good Bond film. It is. It grossed the highest And it didn't grow. We didn't have a Bond film that grossed the more than that on a percentage basis until Skyfall, until 2012. So it was very successful, you know, but, you could argue that there's better Bond films than it. Yeah, I think you could still put Thunderball in the top 10 easily. Is it in a top 5? I don't know. I don't think it's in a top 3, but it's not a bad Bond film. There's worse. Denise Richards, yeah, she's a face, you know. If you're watching a Pierce Brosnan Bond film, it's got to be Goldeneye. And maybe the one with Michelle Yeoh. Because I think that's the one. Isn't that the one where the guy, he can't feel stuff? And he'll, like, he holds, like, a lava rock, and he's like, I feel no pain. I don't know.
I think so.
I think that's the one.
No, that's Tomorrow Never Dies. And Michelle Yeoh's, yeah, Michelle Yeoh's Tomorrow Never Dies. Okay. And she was, there, the villain was Jonathan Pryce.
Maybe it's The World Is Not Enough. Maybe that's what I watched. Yeah, yeah. That was a bad one. That was. It's like, really, with Pierce, you know, and he kept blaming the Austin Powers films, but that wasn't the, you know, that wasn't the issue, and they weren't even making fun of him. I felt like I watched something else. Point Break. I watched Point Break, and I watched Fast and Furious 2009. And that's it.
Mark?
That's it? I already went. So.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I remember something. Actually, for Download This, I watched The Raid. It's a perfect segue now to talk about the feature film.
What a smart ass.
That's good that you watched them back to back. You mean the first one, so, right? Not the second.
No, I think you mean the second one.
I watched the second one.
Oh, I thought you meant you watched the first, and then that was the segue into the second, and I was like, oh, that was a good one. Like, because, you know, they happened.
I was like, wait a minute, I saw The Raid 2 as my Download This, so it's a perfect segue to talk about the feature film.
Yes, today's feature film I picked for my birthday pick this year is The Raid 2, and this is a film that I remember when it came out in, was it 2018? I was trying really hard to go see this in theaters, and it didn't work out. It had limited screenings. It never seemed to work out that I could make it to see it in theaters. And so this is probably, honestly, this might be the last time I rented a movie on pay-per-view, because you got to think, this is how far we've come in just like 5 years. You didn't have the Vudu on-demand stuff just 5 years ago. You know, you still had to wait for it to come out on DVD or Blu-ray. Then it came out digitally later. But I remember this hit cable pay-per-view pretty quickly. And so I remember ordering this on pay-per-view to watch it because I wanted to see it so badly. And it came out on pay-per-view, I think, before it even came out on Blu-ray. It was a weird release. But, you know, that's not uncommon for foreign films, and it's still not for foreign films to have sporadic release dates where they have limited theatrical releases, then they might hit pay-per-view, then they might hit Blu-ray later. Because if I remember correctly, it took a while for this movie to come out on Blu-ray in America, like almost another 6 months after it came out. Because some of that's just distribution, and we'll talk about a little bit, Gareth was going to make a Raid 3, and he wants to blame it on franchise fatigue and the reason he never made a Raid 3. There's a lot more to it. A lot of that has to do with the Indonesian film market and the fact that there was basically no money to really make more films. So the film market over there has not done well in the last few years, apparently. And why he doesn't shop it to America, I don't know, but that's a whole other story. But the film is The Raid 2, and it's a direct sequel to The Raid 1 that takes place, I guess I'll do the summary, that takes place immediately after The Raid 1 leaves off, where him and his brother had just escaped the prison. And we find his brother has since been captured in the few hours since they separated and went their own ways. And his brother is murdered by a new third party that enters the scene that turns out. This movie is kind of like John Wick 2, where it opens up the world of the Raid, where we see that there's basically two crime lords that control this city. And these crime lords were even bigger than the drug lord in the Raid 1. And these guys really control everything from the porn industry to the drug industry to everything that's going on in the city. And so to find out who killed his brother, they send Rama undercover with I can't think of the organization's name, the Gatos, to his organization, and to get in. They put him in prison, and he befriends the Gatos' boss's son and gets him their organization. It turns out that he finds out that this new guy, Bengu, is that his name? That he's a third party, that he wants in on the action. He's tired of these two crime lords having all the business in the city. So he sets up a plan to...
I think his name is Rezu.
Rezu, that's right. And so he uses his henchmen to get in with him and gets Uko to turn on his...
Bengu is the name of the...
Of the cane.
Bengu is the name of the father.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
Uko is the son.
So basically they set him up to get inside the organization and get a piece of this and turn the two crime families that haven't fought each other for years to start fighting each other again. But it kind of backfires on them, so they end up... Instead, they go after somebody that's very important to the family, and that's this man, Koso, who has done work for the crime lords, and he's real important to them. So they end up killing him, which sets off a war between the two crime families again. And then he betrays – then Uku betrays his father and joins up with the third party. And Rama, throughout all this, is just trying to survive, his undercover, to get back to his family eventually. But he realizes that the only way this is going to end is basically if he kills them all. So Rama – gets himself captured, but he unleashes holy hell in the last 45 minutes of this movie and basically does exactly that, kills all of them. And that's kind of the summary of the nutshell of this movie. But I'll say the first time I saw this was like I was completely stuck to the screen and enthralled the entire time. It takes the ideas of the Raid 1 and expands the world to even greater risk and greater circumstances. And the action is even better choreographed, better shot. They trained for almost a year to film this stuff to make the fights as realistically as possible as they could. And it shows on screen. It's got a higher budget. In fact, this film was written before the Raid 1, but they didn't want to give him the money to make this, so he made the Raid 1 as a lower budget film to show them that he could do a good martial arts film. And the Raid was very successful, so it gave them money to make the Part 2, and he just changed the beginning of it to make it all tie together. And it turns out to be a phenomenal story. And the action in this movie is extraordinary. It never lets up except for a few moments. But I feel like – I want to get y'all's reactions in a minute. I feel like the Mad Max Fury Road is obviously like probably the greatest action film in the last 20 years. But I think the Raid 2 might be a really close second, because this feels like watching – a martial arts version of Mad Max where it breathes just enough to let you get the story, but yet then it just punches you right back in the face moment after moment. And you're just like, holy shit, this is awesome. And that's my initial reactions to this film.
Yeah.
No, you go first.
Yeah. I think it's definitely an adrenaline rush. It's you know, like you said, Mark, it breathes just enough so that you get the story and you get these characters' intentions and what's going on behind the scenes and how everyone's kind of got their hands mixed into who's going to take control and who wants who to be in power. You have the son who is fighting for the respect of his dad and wants to get back to the old ways where they were feared. And you have the dad where, you know, like, I forget the long-haired character that played Mad Dog. He said, you know, he doesn't need Oso. Fear anymore. He's got respect.
Koso.
Yeah. Oso is bear in Spanish. I was like, but yeah, I was like, he tells the son, you know, Unk. He's like, he doesn't need that anymore, and he's like, well, we should, you know. And then you've got the cane. The man with the cane, he wants them both out of the picture, and he's gonna take on whoever's left standing. That's, I think that's really cool. It just creates all this turmoil and all these opportunities for these action scenes. You have all kinds of stuff. You know, you have a chick with a strap on walking out. You've got some pseudo superheroes. You've got Hammer Girl and Bat Boy. And I think they're pretty cool. Pretty cool villain.
She has her own action film.
Mm-hmm.
She does?
The Lady with the Hammer. Let me see.
I guess outside of the universe of this.
Yeah.
She's in a few films. She was in the Night Cop.
But I like her.
She's in Headshot. She's been in a few action films. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, you get a lot of cool fight scenes, to say the least. I mean, it's just as good as anything you'd see from like IP Man or, you know, Ong Bak. I mean, it's that kind of action. It's just the choreography is badass. You know, they exchanged real hits, not super hard, but just hard enough to where, you could tell there's this, you know, heightened sense of realism within the fights. You know, they use a martial art that I can't even pronounce correctly, so I won't even. It's like pancake, or it's an Indonesian martial art, but it looks like you wouldn't want to run into anybody that knew it. So really, really cool. They put a lot into the film, and I can't believe that this film was made with just what, $4.5 million. And I can't believe that it only made $2 million profit. That seems like ridiculous. Like, it should have made a whole lot more with what's going on with this film. It punches above its weight, and that's all I got. That's my initial reaction. Punches above its weight, big time.
And how?
Yeah.
Matt, have you seen the first Raid movie?
I have. I only remember bits and pieces. I know they're going through the apartment complex and they're going floor to floor. They're trying to stay alive because the whole floor finds out that, you know, they're cops, and the whole thing is that they're trying to kind of stay stealth and get up there and take out these drug lords. And you've got corrupt cops, and that's how this film starts off. You know, you have Rama, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's turning in his boss or his superior at the beginning of the film, and they kill him. And they're like, if we didn't kill him, then more would come after you. And you know, it starts off right off from the last one. I probably should have rewatched it to get a better sense of where we're starting off, but I remember for the most part.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I'm totally blind because I never even seen the first Raid film.
Okay.
Oh, really? I thought you had seen it.
And I haven't.
Because I know we covered on the show, but I think you missed
it. I've only seen like one or two big fight scenes in the Raid Redemption. And... And I know Judge Dredd was definitely heavily influenced by the Raid Redemption. So that kind of helps in a way. Let's see, the Raid 2. I like the film a lot. Fight scenes are really good. Yeah, of course. There's a couple of things that I don't like, but that's just my personal taste. It's the fight choreography, everything that is just phenomenal, phenomenal. I can't say the word.
And, that's how phenomenal it is. You can't even say it.
Right. It does this thing where the shaky cam part was. Usually, people don't use shaky cam in wide angle shots like this film. You know, that you beat that shaky cam is usually used for close-ups.
Well,
to hide stuff.
I know the prison scene, he did it on purpose because he wanted it to feel chaotic, like a prison fight would.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. But it was actually throughout the film, the shaky cam bit was used quite a bit as well, even during slow moments. Anyways, you know how much I hate that, but it's kind of weird that they use it for, like, I mean, to show the whole fight, but they still use a shaky cam. Usually in films like John Wick and classic Hong Kong fight films, martial arts films, when they use wide-angle lenses, they never shake the camera, you know, because you're seeing the actual actors. Hmm. They're not hiding anything. But no, the thing that really bothered me, that actually kind of took me out a little bit, was, damn, this film is gory. I mean, yeah, I mean, martial arts films, one thing, but damn, this kind of pushes it pretty, you know, pretty far, in my opinion. It's like, don't need to see that, but okay, they showed it. But the hammer thing, oh, the chick with the hammers, you know, she's like using the nail puller to gouge out people's jaws and, you know, sticking up people's heads and stuff like that. It's like, all right, that's cool.
Let me tell you something. The first one's
probably a little too far.
The first one's probably bloodier, believe it or not.
Yeah, I seen the one scene where there was like in the first film, there was a fight scene and the guy was, there was like a door that was broken and they used the door's broken bits to decapitate someone.
Yep.
So yeah, yeah, the plotting was good. So I wasn't sure if, you know, I sent those texts, those questions and stuff, you know, so just to make sure that I'm not missing anything, you know, like Reza, I wasn't sure they showed him in a way where it looked like that he was from the first film, but no, I guess he's
it was a new
kind of a new player. Yeah, a new character. So, yeah, overall, I do like the film quite a bit.
Yeah.
I like it more than Field of Dreams. Kind of a weird comparison. As far as hype and stuff like that, and renown. But yeah, I like this film. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I like the fact that too, that it's still refreshing that you're getting directors that can harken back to the old days of martial arts films, and the fact that Gareth is very much a believer in practical effects and uses very, very little wire work in these films. I mean, most of this is all shot with hands-on choreography. I mean, the kitchen fight at the end, I want to talk about that a minute, because I personally think it's one of the most incredible fights I've seen in a film ever. And
it took eight days
to film it, 195 different shots. Rama and Iko Uwais and the other actor trained for like 6 weeks to get that fight right with each other, and it shows on screen. It's extremely well choreographed. It's so well shot that you almost feel like they're really hitting each other. And like Matt said, they did train themselves to hit, but not hit hard. Both the actors did sustain a couple of cuts and bruises because they trained so hard for that final fight, and it pays off on screen because it's such an incredible fight. And I actually, when I was watching the end of it, Michael was in the room, and he goes, "I'm not sure if I'm supposed to watch this, Mike. Dude, you can watch this. Trust me. This is 8 minutes that you need to see because it's incredible." And he was like, "Man, this is really cool." I'm like, yeah.
Is that chick wearing a dong?
He didn't see that part. The car chase was all filmed with. They filmed a lot of the car chase with GoPro cameras, so they could have small cameras inside the cars to get all those shots and make them look as realistic as they could, which I thought was cool because, you know, a lot of these movies will shoot car fights like that with but the car's not moving. And then they put, you know, video background behind to make it look like a car movie. No, they shot this stuff in the car with the vehicles moving. They shut down parts of the highway to do it. And I'm like, that's phenomenal to pull off that choreography and use GoPros and to shoot these fights with the cars moving and the stuntmen driving the cars. And I'm like, there's American action films that don't do that because of insurance reasons. They're not going to actually film fight scenes with Keanu Reeves in the car and the car moving because it's too dangerous. And I thought that was really impressive to film a car chase like that.
Yeah, that car chase scene was something else.
I mean, the whole movie hits hard, but from like the 150 mark till the end of it, that last 45 minutes is just will blow anybody. You can put that last 45 minutes on. You don't even have to tell anybody what the plot is and just say, if you like action, watch these last 45 minutes because they're that good. I mean, just the stuff that's put together. And even the stuff early in the film is really good. I mean, from in the brutality of it, like you said, like it's brutal, but it's like, I mean, that's this world. That's this world that they live in. It's a brutal, brutal world. And one thing I do think is they do a – it's like if I had one beef with the Raid 2, where is the police presence in this film? Like they allude to it when they accidentally kill some cops later in the film. But it's like all this is going on, and I guess you're supposed to get the idea that they paid off the cops. But it feels like there's absolutely no police presence in this film at all except for Rama and his undercover agent. And then you find out that there's a couple other undercovers in there. And it just feels like it almost feels like you should have had you already have the two gangs and the third party gang. It feels like the police maybe could have been more of a presence to give the story more weight. But it's okay.
Well, there was that one cop that dude skewered to death on.
But it still works for what it is. And it's funny because and then the movie ends with the other gang showing up and Rama's just like, no, I'm done. You know, like, I'm not fighting anymore. Everyone's dead. And apparently the whole idea of the Raid 3 was it was going to start 3 hours before this film ended. The only thing I can guess is there's that part where Rama disappears right before Uko gets mad at his dad. And I'm wondering if there's a story in there somewhere, and that's where the Raid 3 was started. It's like, what was Rama doing while he was gone, maybe? But Gareth never really said what the story was going to be. And I really kind of hope that one day he comes back around and revisits this and maybe makes a third one. Because there's been talks about an American.
Yeah, you better hurry because those actors aren't getting younger.
Yeah, and there's been talks about an American remake of the Raid and but it keeps falling through the cracks, and I'm kind of hoping it doesn't happen because just leave these movies alone because they're both really good films. You know, and there's no reason for it. But Gareth is a director. I haven't seen his Netflix horror film. I heard it's okay, but I'd like to see him do more stuff like that. There were rumors circulating that he was going to make a Deathstroke film for DC, but that's probably not happening now, but we'll talk more about the DC news later. But I would love to see him get his hands on a big budget, you know, American action film of some sort, of some style, because I think he's got a good eye for action in his choreography team and just has made two kick-ass fucking action. Actually, his first film, Marital, is pretty good too. It's not as good as the Raid films, but the action scenes are worth watching in it. You know, it's just kind of flat on its plot, but it's worth it just for watching his action films. I've seen that too, and it's really good. You guys have a favorite fight in this movie? I mean, the kitchen scene obviously is easy.
Man, I kind of like the prison fight.
Yeah.
In the yard.
It's kind of chaotic and crazy.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be that way, and I think that it works.
Yeah. And you just don't know where the next bad guy's coming because he's just surrounded by him.
Yeah.
And it ends like the way it ended. I didn't think it was going to end that way. He gets hit in the head by, you know, from a guard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was odd that they were really emphasizing, Kulso quite a bit, you know, is it like, was it kind of a fan service thing that people really liked, the actor in the first film? And then they just decided to give him a little bit of an expansion.
Yeah. I'm not sure
on for the showcase the actor more.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I agree with you. As far as a plot device, it does kind of come out of nowhere. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, we're introducing this guy who's got an interesting scene with his ex-wife and wanting to see his kid and to try to give you some sympathy towards him. And they play it up real quickly that he's really important to the family of the Gatos. And then, of course, the other side comes after him and kills him. And you're right. It is kind of a bit of an odd plot device in the middle of the film. I kind of wondered that, too. I'm like, okay, we're just, you know, why are they introducing this guy? Where did he come from? Because it happens all within, like, 15 minutes, so it kind of happens quick. Perhaps there was something cut from the film, maybe, you know, that wasn't used.
Maybe.
That's possible. But it doesn't ruin the plot or anything. It's just – but it is kind of a – maybe it's a convenient plot device to cause these two families to go to war with each other. Maybe that's a good way of putting it. But yeah.
That or I just think the director needed something for that actor just to give him more presence in the film.
And I do like
showcases
new characters of Hammer Girl and Baseball Bat Boy. I thought they were cool. They feel like those kind of bad guys you wish they weren't killed off so you could see them in the third one if it ever got made. It's funny, they use a rubber foam bat for the scenes, but like watching it, man, like every time that bat hits someone, I'm just like, oh, because it like, I mean, we've all held a baseball bat in real life. Can you imagine being hit with one? It's like, it's almost more brutal than someone getting hit with a sword in a movie. It's just like, that feels like it really fucking
hurts. Honest. Yeah.
You know?
Honestly, I feel like the baseball bat scenes are kind of I like those a lot.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a satisfying sound when you hear the bat hit someone.
Ding ding.
Yeah.
It's okay. That's cool, but somehow it's also satisfying to hear that clink of the bat hitting someone. So
yeah.
I kind of like that scene just for the
incredible fight in the hallway between Rama and them too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think this movie, it builds up a lot with the tension and the circumstances of the characters or the intentions of the characters, but it never not pays off, you know? And I think that's what makes it work so well. And yes, everyone basically dies in the end except for Rama, but that's the whole point. These are all a lot of bad people. And so it does pay off. It doesn't leave you feeling empty, like nobody got what they deserved at the end of this film. And that goes from the action sequences to the deaths, to the betrayals of characters. I mean, Reza's man, Benju, as I looked up to see his name, you know, he sets Uku up by having him kill, basically some of his own men, and he finds out at the end of the movie that he was betrayed. It was all set up. He told him it was people in his prison he could get revenge on. So it all plays out very well, and it delivers. And it's such, like Matt said, such an adrenaline rush of a movie. I mean, I've probably seen The Raid 2. This was probably my fourth watch, I think, of it. I haven't overly watched this movie, but I think I like it so much that I don't want to overly watch it because it's enjoyable, and plus it's subtitled, so it's kind of one of those movies you gotta have to have time to sit down, focus, and watch and read everything.
Yeah.
But such a good film. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it because I was looking forward to you guys watching it. And Matt, I mean, Long, you need to take the time to watch the first one, buddy. Now that you saw this one, so you have better context. Oh, yeah.
You'll enjoy it too.
Yeah.
It's
no doubt.
Probably. Yeah.
But if somehow the second one's better than the first one, then damn.
I'd say the first one might be more suspenseful.
The first one?
Yeah.
I think they're equally as good. I think the second one's better as far as plot devices and the way it unfolds, but I think the first one's pretty solid too. The first one's a little rawer because it's lower budget. It's more like a raw version, you know? But the martial arts is just as good. You know? Especially the fight with Rama, his brother, and Mad Dog. That fight's just freaking insanely badass in the first one. Definitely worth watching. And like I said, if you're interested in watching Gareth's feature films, check out Marin Tao also. It's pretty good. It's worth watching. A lot of times it's free on Vudu. I don't know if it still is. I have it on my Vudu account because I bought it for like, it was on sale one time for like $5. And it's worth watching too. There's a lot of good action films still being made from that part of the world. Like a Headshot came out a few years ago that stars Eco Uwais also in it. And it's not as good as the Raid films, but for the action sequences, it's pretty good. The Night Comes for Us on Netflix, that's definitely worth watching. IMDb only gives it a 6.9, but I think that movie's just as exciting as the Raid films. I mean, plot wise, it's a little more silly, The Night Comes for Us, because like, it's just waves after waves of bad guys and it never seems to stop. So it's a little bit more over the top, but if you like hardcore action, then The Night Comes for Us is worth watching. If you can get past the brutality long, cause The Night Comes for Us is probably even more brutal than the Raid movies. I mean, it's like buckets of blood and The Night Comes for Us, but it's badass too. But overall, though, man, The Raid and The Raid 2, both worth watching. I mean, I give The Raid 2 a pretty solid A, almost an A+. I think this movie is one of the best action films of the last 10 years. I think it's fucking incredible.
I think it's an A. Definitely an A.
Ditto.
All right. Cool. Good birthday pick movie. Good movie to watch.
For sure, man.
All right. Well,
and then we have Matt, whatever's coming up.
Yeah. Well, there's one movie we know.
I like my cult following films. It won't
be Fast and Furious.
Huh?
So
yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know what I was thinking when I did this, but I texted you guys saying, "Yeah, let's have some fun," and I gave you guys the opportunity to somewhat celebrate my birthday and somewhat roast me on my birthday. And I just kind of sent this to y'all in a text and let y'all run with it. There's no real plan here. So I said, maybe give some good memories and maybe some roast me memories or something. I don't know what you guys are going to come up with. I don't know if y'all texted each other to say, hey, this is what we should do. So I'm just going to let y'all run with this and, have at it, guys.
Yeah, man. Let's start with the good stuff. You know, anytime in a movie they say you want the bad news or the good news, they're like, well, give me the good news, you know? So think some good, one of my good things is Comedy Month. Mark finally caved and he's like, you know what? It is a good idea to do Three Amigos because those are cool pants. It was something like that. You know,
yes, I survived it.
And to piggyback on today, I also have birthday picks. Birthday picks are cool because you get inside the mind of your other hosts. You know, we get to see, you know, the movies that made Long tick, you know, what made him the Long he is today. and then the third, he's a big Tom Cruise fan. And so, you know, we wouldn't have any Tom Cruise movies on here if Mark didn't respect Tom Cruise on his birthday all the time. And it's just, you know, reserve that spot every year, reserve for Tom Cruise every time it comes up. So, you know, what are we going to get next year? We may get Jerry Maguire. Who knows? You know, we could get a lot of stuff.
Did we do a Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah, we did Top Gun this year.
No, that was last
year. Right? Or no, that was last year. What did we do this year?
That was just a few weeks ago.
I know we did
something. Two Tom Cruise films this year.
We have done, I mean.
Maybe, was it War of the Worlds, right? Did we do World of Worlds?
We did do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Top Gun, we did Top Gun on his birthday last year, and we did, or was it Minority Report? Man, we've done so many movies. I mean, or over 300 episodes, so it's easy to get confused just shooting from the hip. Longo, what good stuff do you got?
Well, there's a moment that I remember clearly where we had a fantastic showrunner, Hope on the Strange. host Lindsay come in to be co-host, guest co-host. Well, I think Matt was away.
I think I was on vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. So you remember this, Mark? So we got into like download this, and Lindsay was talking about how she was disappointed with Wonder Woman, and we kind of got into a little debate over it, and it kind of got a little like tense a little bit, and then Mark breaks the tension with, well, yeah, changing the subject. Basically, Mark saving the moment.
I remember that. Listening to that episode.
And
yeah,
that was American Werewolf in Paris.
You haven't
right?
done a
yeah, London.
London.
Yeah, sorry. We would never voluntarily watch that
episode. 261. No. Episode 261, Mission Impossible. Last August was the last time we did a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
So there. Yeah, I do remember that. It was funny because I actually started watching Wonder Woman the other day. I didn't finish it, the first one. I just put it on the background, was kind of had it on. So that's funny you brought that up. But I remember that.
Yeah.
I even edited some of that because it was a little too intense on that episode. I think I did. There might have been a minute or so taken out. But yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. 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 It's like, moving on.
Anyways.
We had a disagreement over one little element, but it wasn't like that intense, I thought, you know, but it was just, I was just going on. But yeah, Mark saved that episode, basically. Yeah, he kept things from getting escalated too much. So the other two, you know, watching Rise of Skywalker with Mark, that was pretty fun. And I didn't go in there expecting to hate it. I just didn't know what to expect from it. Mark probably heard some negative things going into the show, probably.
I still like
it. Yeah, what? And basically, yeah, you liked it. And I liked it too. And yeah, it had its flaws, but honestly, just knowing that you and I are in agreement that hell, yeah. Yeah, we enjoyed that movie despite the hate.
Yeah.
No, that was I thought that was a fun experience. And then third, watching baseball at your place at one time, watching the Astros, one of their final World Series games. That was pretty cool.
I remember that. It was game six, but they lost, and then they went at the next. Remember, they won it the next night in game seven. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Against who was
that? That was in 17 against the Dodgers. Marlins? First World Series against the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was the second.
Was it 19?
I could have sworn it was.
Maybe it was 19.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, because I know that I didn't watch it at all with you the first time they won, but their second World Series, yeah, which is cool. And I found out you two went to the baseball game. You didn't even invite me. No, last weekend.
Oh yeah. Well, Dr. Pepper gave me a pair of tickets, and so I only had two, and it was kind of a. I mean, I just tell you, Matt wasn't my first choice. I mean, I actually had asked my.
Oh, damn.
Well, I asked my brother to go, but then he couldn't go. And I was like, well, I'll text Matt and see what he was doing. So, and, you know.
Yeah, I'll go, even though I haven't had any sleep. But no.
Yeah.
No. It's all good. But other than that, those are my three moments. With Mark.
All right. And now the poo-poo moments or the roasting.
I'll go first since you went first.
Yeah.
What have to feel my
It's only one moment, really. It's only one moment for me, and it's when it's during Comic Palooza a few years ago, and then we were doing that game competition thing. Against the other podcast show,
Gentlemen No Class.
Oh yeah,
and Yeah. And then I was going on, and then I was kind of running out of rope. And then I looked over to Mark. Mark's like, yeah. And then I was like, that's it? It's like, it's like, you were really, really short. You know, it's like, can you be more detailed there, Mark? Because I'm running out of rope here. And then, yeah, when you had your sudden stage fright or something, and then I was like, okay, I'm dying out here.
I do not do well.
But I guess I'll keep going.
Let's think of my toes situation like that. Like, first of all, I like to talk in front of
people. But, you know, Matt was, yeah. And Matt was tired, so he was not in his A game either, you know, right, Matt?
I had one good line, and that was, you know, it's, they call good sequels the Empire Strikes Back of sequels. No one wants to be the Attack of the Clones of sequels. And
it was prequels versus original trilogy.
Yeah,
yeah, we had the original trilogy.
Yeah, that was rough, man.
But yeah,
you know, I felt I did better.
But that's the only moment I could think of.
I felt I did better this year at Compalooza, talking in front of people. You know, like if it's a subject I'm really
I think so too
passionate about. Like even y'all weren't there Sunday, but even Sunday the panel we did with I Am Geek, I felt I did better this year, like, you know, so I am. I'm not a big fan of doing that, but I'll do it if it helps promote the show and has some fun, so. And,
all right, Matt.
I easily came up with three.
I bet. Easily. I was like, oh, that Mark. Oh, I'm going to get him back.
I'm going to get him. I am. I'm going to dig up some old shit. And so, you know,
if there's a person named Julia involved in this,
my number one.
Oh, God.
No, that probably would have made a fourth. But this is my top, my three. So we used to do this top 10 list thing going way back. And so we had this top 10 list of comic book villains.
Oh,
and I fucking, you know, I'm going to be crafty as shit. And I'm like, you know what? There is a real life villain. Oh, yeah, it was Sir Frederick Wortham. We would have never had comic books because he said Batman and Robin were gay and they were making the youth gay. It went to Congress. He testified before Senate. And you had friggin' senators wondering if we should even have comics in the United States because this guy was coming up with weird, weird ideas. If you read it, he's like, oh, well, you know, they're going to read this stuff and then they're going to do laundry a certain way. And that laundry is going to twist their minds. They'll be communists. It's shit like that. But he said that, you know, it made no sense or something like that. And I took, you know, that left a hole in my heart and I haven't been able to get over it.
Say?
I haven't been able to get over
it. Fuck your hole in your heart. Okay.
Oh man. And then we also used to we used to do Face Off before. This is like probably these two things probably happened in the same year. It was Wolverine versus Hulk, and he thought Wolverine would win because he's a Wolverine fanboy. The Hulk ripped Wolverine's spine out. It literally threw him across the mat. I don't know how he comes up with this stuff, but he said Wolverine would win. I just think he's got a hard on for Hugh Jackman or something. I don't know, you know, but we love him. You know, I it's all good. You know, Hugh Jackman, he does things for you, man.
I can safely say, you know? I have never in my life referred to him as Hugh Jackman as you have. I think you have a thing for him.
I don't know.
Just remember,
and then
last day's a month away. I'll get you back.
Yeah. This is true. Yeah. And then lastly, I don't know why he thinks Schindler's List is a comedy.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I still don't even know where this movie came from. Oh.
It's an inside joke.
It's an inside joke. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it was a few years ago. It's an inside joke between me and Matt how there's hardly any comedies that you like. And then maybe in your brain that somehow Schindler's List is funny to you instead of an actual comedy. So that's why we just like, hey, maybe he likes Schindler's List as a comedy, you know, because that's how his brain is wired differently from ours.
I might be a dick, but I'm not an asshole. Shit. Yeah, I've only seen. Most people. I've only seen Schindler's List once. I think most people have only seen it once. It's a very difficult movie to watch. It's not something you're like, oh, let's put on Schindler's List to watch it. You know, I mean, it's just like it's horrifying. You know, and sad.
It is, man. It's like Boy in the Striped Pajamas. Oh my
dude, Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
Once,
dude, that movie had me. I'm man enough to admit that movie had me bawling, dude. I couldn't keep my eyes from watering at the end of that film. Such a sad movie.
Yeah, man.
That's a heavy film.
Yes. I remember I was still married at the time. Me and Mary were watching it, and she's crying. I'm crying. I'm like, Jesus, why did we choose to watch this? I think we put something happy on after that because we're like, couldn't go to sleep. And they're like, this is a horrifying movie. It's like, ugh. Good movie, but those kind of movies are important. You know, they should be made. I mean, I have no problem with them being made because history needs to be told and be learned from and remembered. So
exactly.
So it's fine that those movies are made but yeah, you don't want to watch them all the time. So Schindler's List is not a comedy.
Small doses, far and few between.
Yeah, Schindler's List is not a comedy. I just want to go on record as saying I never believed that it was. So nobody send me hate.
Yeah, it was just
don't hate tweet me or anything. So
yeah, don't cancel them. It's an inside joke.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's do some news before we get out of here. Big news this week as Warner Brothers Discovery, whatever they're called now. New CEO has canceled the Batgirl film. And very disappointing for fanboys because I think
extremely
word is that people said the test screenings weren't positive, whatever. I think most fans don't care. They want to see it for themselves because it really bugs me to know that there's now a film sitting in a vault somewhere that has a Michael Keaton as Batman in it. Because to be fair to Leslie Grace, I really kind of want to see her portrayal as Batgirl. I mean, she was fantastic. She's in the Heights, and I think she's a very good up and coming actress. And I was excited to see what she did with the role. And they
bless is unprecedented. Yeah,
it's never been heard of this ever happening.
It's unprecedented.
Yeah,
yeah. Who paid? I mean, Warner Brothers paid $90 million down already to make the film. The film was shot. 90% of it was shot. And then they cancel it. This is not some damn TV show, you know. It's like that's a big slap in the face. It's like who are these?
I mean,
cable execs think they're doing. Yeah, I mean,
it's a slap in the face of the actors, the directors, the entire crew that was involved in the film. To the fans that were, the fans that were supportive of the film. It you're right. It makes no sense. Their reasoning, financial reasons, which is a bunch of bullshit. Because I mean, you're talking. This is Warner Brothers, one of the biggest, massive companies in the world. They have tons of money. So you can't use financial reasons to the fans as an excuse because fans aren't stupid. They're not buying into it. Maybe the film did.
Not to mention Warner Brothers, arguably the number two studio in Hollywood. You know,
and
they have a great marketing machine.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, okay. And before you move on, Mark, it's like, okay, Discovery, you cancel my movie. I'm going to cancel my subscription. How's that?
I mean,
And I did. I canceled my subscription.
Maybe the film isn't that great, but take your time in post-production. Do some reshoots if you have to. Fix the film and put it out. Let the fans decide. It just feels like such a disservice to everyone involved in the film and the fans. And perhaps through internet campaigning or something, maybe the film is saved and released one day. You know, it's crazy. I'm not sure what's going on with Warner Brothers over there. I mean, the Snyder Cut was very successful. You know, there's been a fan campaign to release the Schumacher Cut of Batman Forever, which is apparently basically done, sitting in a vault. I don't know. And maybe Discovery just needs to figure it out. And you know, luckily they say the Black Adam, Shazam, and the rest of the films are all safe, even though they might shift some release dates around again. They're coming up with a plan to get things back on track, I guess, with their DC universe. And, you know, there's been rumors that Michael Keaton even shot a cameo in Aquaman 2 as well. So we'll see what happens. Just kind of disappointing because I don't know. I wanted to see the movie and see what happens. So.
Yeah, it can't be as bad as Catwoman. Yeah,
Catwoman or...
Yeah.
The first Suicide Squad movie is a train wreck, and it made $300 million at the box office. It's like, you know...
Oh, no, more than that, yeah, dude.
Worldwide more than that. Let the fans decide.
Way more than that.
You know?
$600 million. Yeah, at least.
So it's like... I mean, Venom's a train wreck, but it's a fun train wreck, and it made a lot of money. I actually have come to warm up to Venom a little bit more after watching it a couple of times. I actually think it's an okay, kind of fun 90s action film. You know, so like you said, it can't be worse than any of those films. Just put it out there and let people decide, you know. Disappointing, to say the least.
Yeah.
So we'll go through some of these. Speaking of DC, the Flash is going to end after its 9th season. So its next season coming up will be its last. And that's the crazy thing. You know, these CW shows have been on the air for several years. You know, it's easy to knock them and kind of make fun of them being on the CW, but they have they've been very successful. So they've paved the way for a lot of these DC films to start getting made to show that they had successful characters. So I think The Flash is one of the big ones, and it had a good run. And some of those first few seasons were really good. I just couldn't keep up with it, but it was a pretty solid show. So it's going to be ending after its 9th season.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen, I kind of forgot about this. Seth Rogen is still making a Ninja Turtles animated film, and it's going to be called Mutant Mayhem. Cool, I guess. I kind of forgot that was a thing until it showed up in the news this week, that Seth Rogen's making an animated Ninja Turtles film. So... we'll see what happens. Your Alien television series is going to finally go into production in early 2023. They're in the writing room now, have most of the scripts ready to go for the first season. So they expect to start casting and pre-production soon to start getting the ball rolling next year for hopefully a fall 2023 release of the Alien TV series. So some news on that.
Yeah, I hear the showrunner... Yeah, I heard the showrunner is the same guy who's in charge of what was that film? The TV show based on that film by the Coen brothers.
Oh, Fargo?
With Francis McDormand. Fargo? Yeah. The showrunner of Fargo is in charge of the Alien TV show.
So hopefully it's successful. We got a new trailer.
I do. I really like that franchise.
Yeah. We got a new trailer this week for the Cassian Andor series, and a new release date as it's been pushed back to September 21st, and it's going to premiere with 3 episodes. I actually really like the new trailer a lot better than the first trailer. I think that shot, I don't know if you guys watched it, but that shot where the Star Destroyer is coming over the planet, I thought was really kind of gave just that moment in the trailer, kind of gave the show a really epic kind of feel to it. So I'm curious what they're going to do with the show. I think Cassian, the more I think about it, and I know Longy made the joke in text about, hey, we know how his story ends, and we do, but I think he's an interesting character enough to know how he got to that place at the beginning of Rogue One. I'm looking forward to this. I think it'll be a fun little ride through the Star Wars universe to see where Andor goes. So September for that one. And then lastly, this week, some sad news. We lost another of the original Star Trek crew, as Nichelle Nichols has moved on beyond the stars. You know, actually, did I ever tell you guys I met her several years ago? I was probably in my early 20s, and she was at a small Comic-Con here in Houston at a hotel, and she was just walking around like she was one of the guests, and talked to her a few minutes, said hi to her. Didn't get an autograph or anything or a pic. This is days before cell phones, so no pictures with her. But I did get to meet Nichelle Nichols years ago, very briefly, and just very nice lady. And it's just a sad day. We're down to 3 members left of the original Star Trek crew. She was quite the pioneer.
Walter Koenig.
William Shatner. And
George Takei. George Takei. And William Shatner.
But she was definitely a pioneer. I mean, yeah. She, Walter the King. Stuff she did, you know, appearing on screen and and being a black woman in a place of power on the spaceship in the early 1960s was quite groundbreaking. And you know, and she wore it with grace. You know, she was an advocate, but she wasn't an overly preachy advocate for the things she did. She just kind of, hey, it was my job, and she was there, and she did it, and she'll live forever among in her films and television work, and she'll be missed. So, but Nichelle Nichols, may she rest.
She also did. She also worked for NASA, yeah. Recruiting as a recruiter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. So we will miss her. But that's all the news I got. So before we get out of here, let's preview next.
Did we mention
David
Warner
last? Yeah, we did David Warner last week. Warner yeah, we mentioned.
We did last week. Yeah.
Okay, that's crazy. Two Star Trek actors in the same week.
And well, so before we get out of here, let's preview next week's film. A really exciting movie. I haven't watched this in a long time. I'm actually kind of looking forward to watching this. You know, we've talked about on the show movies that were successful based on TV shows, and there's not a whole lot of them. But this one actually was very successful. It actually was a Best Picture nominee, did very well at the box office. And the more I think about it, this might be one of the best movies ever based on a TV show. And that is The Fugitive, starring the great
– A-Team.
Huh? The A-Team. Oh. The Fugitive, starring the great Harrison Ford.
I came home, there was a man in my house. He had an artificial arm.
Are you saying that I killed my wife? Are you saying that I crushed her skull? And that I shot her?
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. We have a fugitive that's been on the run for 90 minutes. Average foot speed over uneven ground, barring injury, is 4 miles an hour. That will give you a radius of 6 miles. What I want out of each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in this area. Checkpoints will go up at 15 miles. Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball. Go get him.
And hey, I actually kind of like the 18.
Tommy Lee Jones.
18 movies, kind of 18 movies, actually.
Fun. Yeah, I like.
It's kind of an enjoyable film. I mean, Liam Neeson just chews up the screen of that movie. But yeah, so we're gonna talk to Fugitive next week with Harrison Ford. Good, exciting whodunit type action film. Different type of action than The Raid. You know, definitely not martial arts, but definitely a movie that kind of has an adrenaline rush to it as he's trying to find out who killed his wife. And it's Harrison Ford in one of his best. So I'm kind of looking forward to rewatching this and talking this movie next week on the show. And until then, you know, you guys, thanks for the birthday roast. That was fun. Y'all are goofballs, but I don't expect anything less from you guys. And so it was cool. Yeah. And watching a good movie with me this week and talking about it. So it was fun. The Rebel Radio Podcast.com is where you can find all our Rebel Radio social medias and episodes and all that good stuff. And just continue to stay safe out there. And thank you as always for listening. We truly do appreciate the support of the show. Because if y'all weren't listening, we would not be talking basically. But until next time, this is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long.
And remember, as always, just go there and do it.